It is a season of moving forward. We get to 2000, we were in 2011, there were ups and downs, challenges, blessings, but it is a time when God says, okay, whatever has happened in 2011 has happened. It is now time to pack your bags and move forward. And so the church needs to constantly be looking at what God is doing and be able to move with what God is doing. And I want to encourage you, this is a season of moving forward. It's a season of rain. I know here we're surrounded, we've got rain almost every other day. But in Africa, when we talk about a season of rain, we understand what that means. When it rains, it pours, it drenches. And I believe that God wants to let His Spirit come and rest upon His people in this place. And so it's a season of rain, and we have to ask the Lord and ask of that rain to come heavy on us, on our families, on our children, on our workplace, in all that we do, that we ask and allow God to do that. It's a season of blessings. You have to believe this season like Abraham believed God when God says, this time next year your wife will have a baby. And Sarah did laugh. And God says, is there anything too difficult for God? That job that you want is not difficult for God. The health that you want is not difficult for God. The spiritual growth that you want in your life is not difficult for God. The breakthrough that you are after of getting to know God into that place of intimacy with God is not difficult for God. And so Genesis 18, verse 14 says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. So nothing too hard. That's not what I'm talking about this year, today. But I want us to, we've been praying and thinking hard about this year. And we have a motto text which you have received this morning in your notice sheet. And it is taken from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. We're going to be focusing on verse 2. However, for us to understand verse 2, we need to have an understanding of the whole passage, really, of what's happening around that, where they're coming from and where God is trying to take them. And so that's what we'll be looking at today. I'm going to read from 54 verse 1 to possibly verse 8. We'll see how we go. I'm not sure where we're going to go this morning, but let's just hang on in there and ask God to lead us. There was a man who decided to take stock, and so he was to go and see his doctor. He felt that things were not quite good in his life. And so he went to his doctor and he says, I'm not able to do all the things that I used to do around the house. I find it very difficult now to do all those old things that I used to do in the house. When the examination was complete, he said, now, doc, I can take it. You please tell me in plain English what is wrong with me. To which the doctor replied, well, in plain English, you're just simply lazy. And so to which the man says, now give me the medical term so that I can tell my wife. We are creatures of habits. We want to get around like we used to get around. It is our tendency to resist being stretched. I don't like change. I remember getting to college. One of the things that I said, I used to walk around in college saying, Dotha can verify, I used to say, change is good. When things are very difficult for me, the words that would come out was, change is good. And I remember being told when I go there with my head down and thinking, oh Lord, this is very hard, I don't want to be here. I feel like, I know you want me to be here, but I really don't want to be here. And you'd hear that not all change is good. But change is good. It brings about things, new things, fresh life within us. We are creatures of habits. We have gotten comfortable and established in a routine. In our walk with God, it's so easy to become settled in how you were doing things last year and expect things to turn out the same in 2012. Can I just say that if you want to see a fresh move of God in your life, it will mean rearranging drastic things around, moving things around. And that's not always easy. It's a painful process, but that's what God wants us to do. Someone has said that ruts are just open-ended graves. But for most of us, ruts define where we live. This is our life. We've gotten comfortable. We've become established. We get up every morning, get out of the same old bed, put on the same old clothes, walk to that same old table, have the same old breakfast, and pack that same old lunch, drive job, get off that same old time, drive down that same old street, pull into that same old drive, have the same old dinner, watch the same old program, get into the same old bed, then you get up the next morning and do the same old thing all over again. For some of us, we think that's life. Church, can I just say, that is not life. There is more to what God has in store for us. And if we are going to see a fresh move of God in your life, in our lives, then comes a time when you have to do some rearrangement of things, where you have to adjust things, where you have to look into it and say, Lord, I want to change things. There were two hunters who were very wealthy. They got a pilot and they said, can you please take us to the far north? And so they went to the far north to elk hunting. And so they got up there. They were very successful. They managed to kill six elk. And so they got back and they met the pilot just in time when they agreed to meet. And the pilot, as they begin to pack their gear, load their gear into the plane, it was the pilot said to them, you can only take four of your elk. This was a big decision for the hunters. And they said, no. We're not having that. Last year, a pilot with the same capacity aeroplane say to us, we can take them. And so we did. And so the hunters then managed to persuade the pilot and they allowed them to load. As the plane was trying to take off, it then struggled and it crashed. And as they were walking along the rubbles, one of the hunters says to the other hunter, do you realize where we are? The other hunter says, yeah, I think this is about the same place we crashed last year. And so, change is good. When things happen, we have to take stock. We have to look into our lives. And so we are encouraging you as a church to do a spiritual MOT, to assess. No one is going to check on you. You have the power and the will to ask a friend or to come and ask any of the leaders to say, there are things that have been raised in my MOT that I would want to discuss with somebody. It's not obligatory. I don't know how to say that word. Yeah, obligatory. Yes, that's right. And so you find that if you want to get down to somewhere where God wants you to be, you have to do some spiritual changes. We cannot get to where we want to be and remain the same. If we do what we have always done, it will only create a spiritual barrenness. If we plant ourselves down and expect to reap sprouts, then we are only fooling ourselves. In chapter 54 of Isaiah, where our motto text comes from, the Israelites are being wonderfully persuaded by God after a bitter exile experience to recover themselves psychologically, to come to a place where they will change, they will be liberated from the influence of their experience. I don't know about you, whether you have experienced any battles, but I know that every battle that you go through in life, it leaves scars. Some of us, we are still walking with the scars that have been left by some of the battles that we have gone through, maybe of 2011. And they still bear, they're still very visible and still bleeding. And so we carry them around. And so when you go through a battle, you will always come out with scars. And it is here that the children of Israel, God is trying to say to them, it is time, a time is going to come. I want faith to rise up again within you. I want you to come to that place where you will believe again, where you will stand up again and know that you can, who you are in Christ. You know, it's so difficult when you have been battered. I don't know about you. When you have trusted, you have given your all, when you have prayed hard, you have fasted 24/7, and then you still come to that place where the enemy is just suppressing you. You begin to lose faith and trust in God. And this is the place that the children of Israel were. They were very much controlled by other nations that did not worship their God. They were in this place and it had affected their way of thinking. Their psychological needed redemption. And so they had lost the idea of God as a big God. God as the one who holds their life. They had lost their trust in this God. The Bible says that be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. And so when your mind is actually held captive by the enemy or by your experience in life, you get to a place of spiritual barrenness or a place of spiritual paralysis where your faith can only go as far as here. And you will become comfortable and think, there's nothing more in life. There's nothing more for me. There's no hope for me. I am finished. And it is here that the prophet is speaking to the children of Israel. Yes. You have had lots of experience in exile. Yes, you have had it bad. Yes, things haven't turned out the way you wanted them to be. Yes, you have been controlled for many years. But rain is coming again. No limits. I'm going to take you to a place, God is saying, a place of no limits. A place where you are going to expand. It is a journey. So he's calling them to that place. But in order for us to really understand that, we need to hear what in chapter 52, verse 1 to 2 says. He declares, this is God's heart for them. He's saying, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake off yourselves from the dust. Arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bones of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Release yourself. See yourself free. You may still be in your circumstance, but arise. And so the prayer and fasting we're calling it, arise and shine, for the light has come. Until the light comes in your world, the devil will always hold you captive. You will remain where you are. And so I'm praying in the name of Jesus that each and every one of us, the light will come on. And as the light comes on, we will realize who we are in Christ. And that will cause something to happen within us to rise up and be all that God wants us to be. I pray that it will put a dynamo within us that we can't but just rise up and say, enemy, you're not going to hold me down. I am going to move forward. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who... Yeah, that's it. And so there are always battles that we come in contact with. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they had to fight. The enemy was always trying to keep them in their area of bondage. Keep them and sustain them in their slavery. And so they had to fight their way out. Sometimes you have to fight your way up to where God wants you to be. Your diary will try and keep you captive. Sometimes our successes can actually try to keep us captive. The things that we have done so well, they can become a stumbling block to what God wants to do. And so there's always battle that we have to go through. Simon Peter, as they saw that man who was being sustained all his life by people giving him money. They were giving him something that sustained him in his lameness. And they got to this man and they said, silver or gold have we none. We're not going to give you something that's going to keep you bound. But we're going to give you something that's going to empower you. That's going to release you to what God has in store for you. And so there's always battles that you see. You sense that the Lord is really calling his people to arouse them in their faith, because sometimes your faith or expectation has been hurt and has been difficult, and now you find it difficult to wake up and charge forward again. Something has to change within your mind. Something has to change psychologically. Your way of thinking has to be transformed. You have to allow God to come and change your way of looking at things in 2012 if you are going to make room for God and say, God, I want to be all that you want me to be. But the greatest challenge comes in chapter 54. It is here that he wants to revive them, to bring them again to a place of power. If you are going to get to a place of advancing forward towards your God-given gift or destiny, you're going to need to understand that you will inevitably encounter some battles in your life. For some of us, those battles, as they come, they actually become, they win over us. We start to stop coming to church because this is what they've done to me. This person has done this to me, and so I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do this or that. I'm not going to go to work because they said this to me. They've stopped me from sharing the gospel with somebody at work, so I'm not going to open my mouth anymore. The devil says, I got you exactly where I want you to be. Amen?
Amen.
If you have signed up for a cheap, easy Christianity, I'm just going to tell you right now as it is, there will be battles, church. You have signed up to be on the forefront, and the enemy will do whatever it takes to stop you from being all that God wants you to be. And so you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to press on. Not only are you going to have to press on to acquire the blessings that you have. Hey, remember the lady that had the blood issue? There were so many people surrounding Jesus, and she had to push and say, excuse me, everybody, I don't care what you are here for, but I'm going to just touch the hem of his garment. For if I do that, I'll be healed. And so it's going to mean us pressing forward for our blessing, pressing forward for God to touch our lives and change our lives, but not only just pressing forward to acquire the blessing, to maintain the blessing. We have to press hard. We have to want it so bad in our lives and ask God to give us the grace each and every day to maintain that blessing. You know, once we get to that place, the devil always wants to discredit that, to take that away from you. I remember in my home church when I was praying for something, God granted it to me. And as I got there, I could sense that the devil was now bringing in other devils to come and discredit that. Pride started coming in. I started to feel like I don't need God anymore. I can do this thing, my own strength. I started to realize that. And until somebody was brave enough to come and tell me and say, my brother, you might want to just check your attitude right here. And I tell you, it just came like this. But I thank God for that brother. I thank God for he loved me so much that he told me something that I didn't want to hear. And I remember going before God because I didn't want to be a person who was pride. And I remember going before God and say, God, everything that I have comes from you. Everything that I have and will ever have is of you and comes from you. And so I hold it all loose, oh God. Help me in my situation. And so we have to press forward to maintain that blessings. We have to ask God to help us. And so in chapter 54, the people of Israel were experiencing this kind of spiritual barrenness. They are in a dire situation. Hope has given up, has gone, has dried up. The land is now dry. Their faith in God to liberate them is now gone. And so they are really wanting a breakthrough in their lives. They're wanting something of God to break forth within them. I don't know, have you ever been so thirsty for God? When you look in your life, you see the 2010 came and you dealt with the same devil, same situation, and you go into 2011, same old life, you just start again, you're just going through like you're on a treadmill, doing the same old thing, same old year after year. They were in that situation. And so it is here that God is now speaking into them and saying, I want you to find yourself. I want you to set yourself. You know that movie, Groundhog Day, why it is popular with many of us is because it really depicts where we are as a people. Many of us feel like that life is always the same. Come one year, come the next. Nothing is going to change. Isaiah is writing about people who are craving meaning in their life. I don't know when you're here today, what you're here for. And he's saying that a day will come when God will ask something incredible of you. Through the corridors of time, perhaps you can hear Isaiah calling to you today. And maybe you can hear God whispering in your ear this morning. The key to Christian living is to go when God says go. The children of Israel learned that a long time ago. When they saw the cloud moving, they started moving with it. Church, when we stay where we are, it becomes mosquito breeding ground. I know that. I come from a mosquito area. When water is stagnant in one area, when water has no inlet and outlet, we become stagnant. That happens to us as a church. If we remain where we are, we become stagnant. And guess what happens? We start shooting each other. We start actually fighting each other. The battle becomes more on a physical rather than on a spiritual. Church, we are called to be fresh and open to what God has in store for us. And be willing to allow God to do what He wants to do to us. I'm really excited about this verse. Have you got the verse with you? Peter, please. Oh, Sherry. That's it. That's bookmark you're going to get. I think there are two things that really we can get. We can tap into the voice of God in two ways here. First, I believe that God is going to speak to us as a church. But also, I pray that you will tune in personally and listen to what God is asking you to do. That is how you can be part of what God wants to do this year. God has humbled Himself and come and says, I want to use you. He wants to use me. That's the humility of God. Because He can do it. He's God. He can do it without me. And yet He says, I want to use you. I want you to be part of what I want to do. So verse 1 of Isaiah 54 says, "Oh, sing, O barren woman, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Verse 2, which is our motto text. Enlarge, break forth, I would say. Break out the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nation and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. I'm going to just stop there. Isn't that amazing? They are in a dire situation and God is saying, I want you in your circumstance, I want you to push the tent. Don't hold back. I want you to charge forward. I want your faith to rise up again within you. In this text with us, God is asking His children to grow and He was saying, will you grow again? We cannot grow by burying ourselves and expecting sprouts to come out. In order to grow spiritually, we need to listen to what God says. But also there are other things that we need to do that this passage calls us to. The first thing is that enlarge your capacity for God. Amen. God wants to do a big work in us, and for God to do a greater work within us, we have to make room of our hearts and say, Lord, I am yours. Use me as you please. God, I allow you to do your will. Not my will, but your will be done. If we can't pray that prayer, then we are going to be in the same place year after year. When we say, God, your will be done, it's a dangerous prayer, church. I pray that prayer and God has taken me to scary situations sometimes where I felt like, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be here, but I really don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here, Lord. It doesn't feel comfortable. Everything in me says, I want to retreat. I want to go back to what I know, to the comfortable zone. And God says, if you're going to walk deeper in intimate relationship with me, you're going to have to step out. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? Stepping out into the unknown. into those places that we have no idea where God is taking us. We're not always going to know where God is taking us. That's faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by feelings or emotions, but we walk by faith. Amen? So enlarge your capacity for God. So it's creating room, making room to grow, allowing ourselves, asking God, grow me inside, make me adaptable, make me hear your voice. My sheep knows my voice. Lord, when you speak, may you silence all the other voices. My voice, silence it, oh God. I want to hear your voice. And Lord, whatever you say, your will be done in my life. It will be established in my life. Here is a prayer of Jabez. Jabez cried out to the Lord, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And the Bible says, and God granted his request. In the book of the prayer of Jabez, this is Jabez's prayer, bless me and expand my territory. You know, it is not wrong to ask God to bless you. We live in a society where we have become again confused, because we feel like if we start asking God to bless us, we are being prosperity. God blesses his children. Whether you like it or not, God blesses his children. And it is right for us to ask God to bless us. And Jabez, in his prayer, he's saying, don't bless me, Lord. I'm not asking you to be self-centered. Bless me so that I can bless others. I can impact other people's lives through the blessings that you've given me. And that's what God wants us to pray. Lord, bless me so that I can release the blessings to others. Bless me so that I can give out more. If you've got a small house, maybe you pray, Lord, I want to have a ministry of putting up people. Lord, bless me so that I can touch other people. I can look after the other people. Lord, I need a job so that I can finance that ministry that's happening there. Lord, bless me in this area so that I can make room to do A, B, C, and D. You know, one of the things that has been humbling me has been the vision that God gave to Dora. You know, she talks with me. I don't know if she realized how much it has impacted me. You know, she says, and I'm praying God to bring that to fruition. She's worried now. She doesn't know what I'm talking about. She says to me, I've got a passion and a vision of setting up an orphanage. I really feel that God has given me a heart for the children, and I want to do this. And I say, Lord, bless that young lady. I say, Lord, bless her in the name of Jesus, that she will be able to touch many other children. She's not just asking for blessing for herself, but that she can be an influence to others. So making room to grow, asking God to extend your territory. God wants to expand your influence for his purposes. So the measure of your life is not what you consume, but what you allow God to birth through you. Here is a powerful principle. We live to give. It is woven in the fabric of creation. You know, I was reflecting on salmon, the fish. I don't know if pronounce it very well. But in their last days of their lives, they spend their last days of their life battling upstream to go to that place so that they can give birth. They believe that their whole purpose is to give life. And so you see them when the time comes, they're rushing to go to fresh water so that they can lay their eggs. We are created to give worship to God. We are created to be people of influence. People who touches others with the love of God. People that will impact others because God has been so good to them. Many of us have become stagnant in our giftings. God has blessed you with whatever gifting that you have, and you are happy to come and sit in church, do church Sunday, go home, and come back next Sunday. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And go home and not allow God to use the gifts that you have been given. Church, whatever talents that you have them so that God can impact others. Make room for God and allow God to use whatever he has given you. And that's one of the things that we are asking us. And that's one of the things that my pastor gave to me and drilled within me. And it is one of the annoying things that maybe you come across in my life. One of them, and I'm sure there's lots of other things, but one of them is that one of saying, I want to give whatever God has given me. And so when we go on mission, they get frustrated because I'm there surrounding them and say, you can do it. Go and do it. Whether it's in leadership, I'm constantly drumming on their all the leadership. We have to work ourselves out of the job. Let's multiply ourselves. Let's draw others so that they will be able to do the very things that I can do. That I will not be able to be the one person that can do it all. And so it is a weakness and a strength. I give thanks to God for that. I don't apologize for that. Amen. I don't know. Which one is bigger? You're all worried now, isn't it? The bottle is bigger. Of course, the bottle is bigger, isn't it? But which one can hold more? The balloon. Why can the balloon hold more? It's not about the size. Can I just say it's not about the size? The trouble with this bottle is that it becomes restricted. It becomes contained. And so God is saying in this text, motto text, do not be contained. Go to the places where there's no limits. No limits. And so while this bottle is bigger, but it holds far less than what this balloon can hold. Do you believe that? And so one of the things about this balloon is that it's expandable, it's adaptable. If you put the water in, the more water you put in, it stretches more and make room. It'll get to the place, of course, of bursting. In the older days, they used to say, the scripture says, do not put old, new wineskin into the old wineskin because it stops its elasticity. I want to challenge you this morning to be adaptable to what God wants to do in your life. Not in somebody's life, but in your life. He's going to put you in situations that are uncomfortable. When we put water or whatever it is into that balloon, as the balloon is stretching, it's not comfortable for that balloon. You're actually pushing that balloon to its limit. And so when God does the thing that he does best, when he starts rearranging your life, it's not going to be a comfortable thing. It's going to mean stretching out. And so one of the things that this text is challenging us is that to stretch your commitment to God. Stretching has a tendency of causing pain. So whenever God starts stretching you, you will find that you experience pain. When you stretch, you're working certain muscles that are not being used. And so maybe muscles that are, when it's relaxed, it's using different kind of muscles. And so when you stretch it, you're using muscles that you didn't realize you've got. Hence, when you go jogging and you spend the whole day in the gym, you come home, you start feeling really painful, muscles painful, because they've been exercised, they've been stretched. And God is saying he wants his people to be able to be adaptable to what he wants to do. Now, I don't expect you all to sign up to every ministry. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about stretching your commitment and trying to do 101 things. But it's actually the commitment of saying, Lord, what is it that you want to do in me? I'm going to allow you to use me in that area of ministry. I'm going to allow your spirit to lead and guide me into whatever you have in store for us. We pray that as you come to this church, that as we come Sunday after Sunday, that you will be refreshed and have and come to that place where you'll be inspired to go out and minister to others. That you will be inspired to serve in different ministries. You know, there are some people that are doing most of the work. Well, most of us are seated at home. There are some people that are sacrificing their time, coming day after day. They end up doing things they are not gifted in doing because you are not doing what God has called you to do. I want to encourage, this is not to make you feel guilty, but this is to inspire you to say, you have something to bring that God has given you. It's there to make an impact, to make an influence. So the first one, enlarge your capacity for God, stretch out your commitment, and the next and the last one is expand your influence. How big is your tent? In this verse, Isaiah says that you need to spread out to the right and to the left. You need to make your mark on a land that does not know you yet. who you, or that doesn't know who you are. In other words, you need to expand your influence. A mother took his son to the store, and as she was checking, the cashier was, you know, doing the summing of everything. He took this lollipop and gave it to the son. And the mom turned to the son and said, "What do you say, Johnny?" And Johnny says to the cashier, "Charge it. You reap what you sow." And very often, the amount of stuff that we put into our lives, invest into our relationship with God, is what we get. If we are not willing to make time for God to transform us, things will remain the same. Here are some things that will help us to expand your area of influence. Stephen Covey says that the best way to expand your circle of influence is to stop being reactive. He suggests that instead of being controlled by our environment, that we become proactive and take charge of our lives. That instead of our diary becoming slaves to our diary, that we actually become in control of what we have, of our lives, having a clear balance in all that we do. We can expand our influence by showing concern for others, showing and anticipating their needs over ours. Churches that grow are churches that have a genuine concern for the community. You know, I've looked around many times. We see new people come, and sometimes we become so self-centered that it's all about us. That new people come in the hall, they're standing by themselves. They have to barrage through you to get a cup of tea. I'm praying that as a church, we will seek to be a people of influence. That says, it's your first time here, we're going to bless you. We're going to serve you with a cup of tea. It's your first time here, we're not going to let you stand on your own. We are going to come and talk to you. We're going to put our hand around you. You know, if it's somebody's crying, maybe something has happened, they've lost a loved one, we're going to be people of influence that are not just there on Sunday, that will be there to stand with them, that they will know that they are not on their own, that we'll be on our phones, phoning them and say, "How are you doing? How is things?" Maybe a mom has just had children. We will be there giving meals. One of the things that have humbled me since arriving here, and I love it, and I'm going to say it so that I can encourage you more, is the number of different meals that we received when we had our children, and our Menashe. You know, people bringing food, faithfully coming and supporting us, and standing with us. People just phoning and saying, "How are you doing?" That minister to us. I want to encourage you, be a person of influence. We are starting at the moment an English club to bridge with the bridge school. We will be running it. And we need more women. Most of these women are Muslim women. And so it would be wrong for them to come and see myself and Richard there only. It would be really good to have a lot of women that will say, "I'm just going to be there once a month. I'm just going to be there and help them in their English. And we will share the gospel with them." You know, they are so open to receive. And so we are praying for people that will be able to come and help us with that. Another area that you could expand your influence is with the young people. Encouraging our young people, drawing them in and building, taking interest into them. I'm going to commit to praying for them. You know, we've been having this senior citizens lunch, the community lunch, saying, "I'm not going to wait to be asked. I'm going to give my name and say, whatever it takes, whenever I can, I'm going to be there to make sure I can do something." With Morton House, in the community, your neighbor, they need you to know that you're a person of influence. Take cookies around to them and ask God to bless them. Somebody's in hospital, there are a lot of people in hospital I go and see who have nobody to visit them. I get there and I say, I'm not here to see anybody I know. I want to see those people that have no one who come and see them. You know, I go and see them and they say, "Why are you here?" They start asking me questions. Here's an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I want to encourage us. You are there. God has gifted you so that you can be a blessing. Enlarge the place of your tents. Enlarge your tents. hold stick, be rooted in Christ, push them really down and allow God to use you in whatever way. Let's pray. The way to influence people for Jesus is to expand that circle of concern. Jesus says, love one another. And that's very easy. But he went on to say, I know loving one another is a very easy because you love the people that you love. But he says, I want you to expand your circle of concern. Love your enemies. The people that you don't like and the people that don't like you. And Jesus says, I want you to love them with the love of God. I want you to demonstrate the love of God. Some of you, your neighbors are horrible neighbors. They make lots of noise. You don't even talk to them. But God has planted you there so that you may be a person of influence. And God wants you to turn the tide and enlarge that tent and say, you know what? I'm not going to do it to be liked by them. They may not even like me. They may not even want to see my face. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to extend my tent. I'm going to extend my circle of influence. I'm going to commit to praying for those that do not like me. I'm going to commit to loving my family members, maybe, that don't even like me. I'm going to invest time in them. Amen. I'm going to make room and allow God to use me in those areas. Amen. I don't know about you. What areas of your life that you feel God is saying, I want you to extend, to enlarge your tents. For some parents, it's your children that you ask God to give you the grace to love them. You've loved them. They've walked away. They've thrown it in your face. You've helped them. They've chucked it back to your faith, to your face. And God is saying, I want you to love them with an everlasting love. I want you to just love them and have that influence over their lives. Let's stand and pray if you can. I'm going to invite the worship team. Some of us might need to come clean about your life. And you might want to say, God, Jesus, I don't know you. I want to enlarge my tents in 2012. I don't want to go through 2012 the same way as I did 2011. Lord Jesus, expand my territory. I want to know you. I'm going to invite you to come up as I invite the ministry team to come as well, as the worship team minister to us. If you're here for whatever reason and you want God to extend your territory, maybe it's an area of ministry that you want to ask God to bring about influence and impact, I'm going to invite you to come to the front. And we're going to pray together as they sing the next song.